Hello, this is Brother Thurman. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I welcome you to this recording today, and hope that you're excited about learning the Word of God. You wouldn't be here if you wasn't, right? And I want to thank you for being sincere and being disciplined to discipline yourself to learn the Word of God. And no matter how you're doing it, as long as you're in that book and you're learning God's Word, give yourself to reading and to exhortation and to doctrine, the Bible says. And that's what we're learning. We're learning, we're reading and we're reading God's Word and we're learning doctrine. We're learning what the difference of what is and what is not, and what we are to believe and what we are not to believe. And we're learning it by knowing what the truth is, and that's reading the Word of God and studying and comparing Scripture with Scripture. Well, today we're going to go back into our study, the lesson number 8, I believe it was, and the study of God, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is who we're studying, the third person of the Godhead. On a horizontal level, all three persons of the Godhead are equal with one another. One is not greater than the other. They all have three different offices, but they are all 100% God. And the three are one, according to the Scriptures. Now, last time we talked about what is the relationship between the Holy Ghost and ourselves, the Holy Ghost and me. And we begin with 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14, as said, "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." So we learned also that God the Holy Ghost dwells in us. And then we also went to 1 Corinthians. And if you got your notes there, you're staying right up with me. And I pray that you're taking these scriptures down and that you're going reading over them. It's not too hard to read and to get in there. I ain't never been a reader and I ain't never even liked reading. But since the Holy Ghost has given me time in my life to study, the only part of my learning how to read, and I'd always knew how to read, but I didn't like it and I didn't enjoy it, and I thought it was just too laborious and I never did learn anything and wasn't interested. But the Lord gave me material to begin studying along with His Word, and all my responsibility was just to discipline myself to sit down and read. And He would do everything else, and He has. And sometimes I get some of the sweetest reading to where I just don't even want to stop, it depresses me to close the book. You know what I mean? But sometimes it's like trying to drag a mule out of a field. You're just looking and yearning and wanting and hungry and thirsty and wanting something from the Word of God, and you feel like you've read all of it, and it took you all day to get that little bit of reading done, and you get through it, and you don't think that you got anything. But later on, you find out that's very, very much fruit that you got out of it, because the Word of God does not return void. So don't ever think that you're wasting your time reading the eternal Word of God. God's Word prospers in no matter what direction it goes in. And if we're studying it, we're going to get something out of it. And it's going to be fruitful and it's going to matter. It's going to matter. So let's see where we're at. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12 through 14, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost enables us to know the things of God's Word, for He is our teacher. Now, we're talking about our relationship between the Holy Ghost and ourselves. Well, one part of our relationship, God the Holy Ghost and ourselves, is that we need to consider God the Holy Ghost one of His offices, or part of His office as God, as the Holy Ghost, is teaching us. He is our teacher. He's our comforter. The Lord Jesus Christ said that He was coming. He was going back and ascending. He would send the comforter. If He didn't go away, then the comforter wouldn't come. But He said that if He goes to be with the Father, that He would send Him. And the comforter did come. He came at Pentecost, and the church began. So, when you were born again, God the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, moved inside your body, and he is indwelling you now, never to leave. You're sealed with him until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. The Bible says that he'll be in us forever. And that, excuse me, and the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12 through 14 that he is our teacher. That he's our teacher. So you want to know if you're being taught? Yes, you're being taught. God the Holy Ghost is teaching you. Every time you sit down with your Bible and you're reading one verse there, and then all of a sudden you'll see another scripture that goes along with that verse, and you'll turn five pages to the left and you'll look that verse up, and you're thinking that you're wasting time or this, that, and the other, but you're not. That's the Holy Ghost. He's saying, okay, you've read that, now come on over here, and you follow that and chase that over there, and you compare scripture with scripture. He says, okay, you read this, now come on over here, and you turn 20 pages to the right, and then he brings you over to the New Testament, and you read that, and then you go back to the Old Testament, and he just has you chasing his word all over the place. And then at the end of all that thing, boy, you done got you a big old sweet truth out of it, you see. And God the Holy Ghost is the one that's doing that. And he's leading us in the scriptures and teaching us out of the scriptures. And he does that in several different ways, and uses different types of ways to teach us. He uses topical teaching to where he gets on a subject and he teaches us specifically about one topic, like preachers do. They'll get on one topic and they will teach about that topic alone out of the scriptures, or preach out of the scriptures on that one topic alone. And then there's expository preaching to where, and teaching to where the Holy Ghost will take us and he'll go verse by verse and teach us verse by verse. And, all of it is wonderful and it's good. And the more you read God's Word, the more hungry you're going to get for it. And the more that you allow God the Holy Ghost to teach you, whether you understand what's going on or not, but you're willing and your heart is willing, then he will teach you, and he is going to teach you. He's conforming us into the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible says that he enables us to know the things of the Word of God and that he's our teacher. Now, the Bible also says that a Christian can grieve the Holy Ghost. We went over that the last recording, and the Bible does say for us not to grieve the Holy Ghost. It said that in Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 30. It said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We're not to grieve him. And then we went over some of the things that the Scripture says that would make it possible for us to grieve him. And probably you've already, since we had our last lesson, you've already been working on some of these things. And that's what it takes. It takes sacrifice and it takes labor for us to work on these things. But God is faithful. And when he sees that we're busy and we're sincere about trying to do things that he says are prosperous for us and are his will, then he'll step alongside of us and he'll give you the power to do these things. For instance, bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, that it be put away from us, and malice, the Bible says also. And then it talked about some godly attitudes that we could have that would assist us in getting rid of these things out of our life and putting these things off. The Bible uses that language. We put these things off. And it said, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Past tense. You see what God has already done for us. It's not so that God will forgive you. It's because God has already forgiven you. It's the least that we can do. And when you have done all that you can do, say, we are unprofitable servants, for we have done that which was our duty to do. And that's the way we ought to feel like it. I mean, we serve the one and true living God that is wonderful, that loves us. He's not like these governments, and they're trying to bear down on you and put more weight on you and more weight on you and more weight on you. the Lord's government, when it gets here, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and sets up that millennial reign, His government's going to last forever, the Bible says. And it's going to prosper and do nothing but grow. And you know why? Because it's going to be by righteousness. And it don't matter what you think as far as wanting to sin and wanting to have all this nastiness in the world like there is now and all this sinful ways in the world. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. And it don't matter what your opinion is. It's going to be by the book. And it's going to be by His perfect and wonderful and spiritual laws. And we're going to love it. And we're going to enjoy it because we're going to be like Christ. And we're going to have the bodies that are conformed to the image of His glorious body. And we're going to have the minds of Christ. We're going to think like Him. It's not going to be possible for us to think of a cuss word. It's not going to be possible for us to think of a nasty joke that we heard 10 years ago. It's not going to be possible for us to think of, to be tempted with all that nasty sex garbage and perversion that's in the world anymore. There ain't going to be billboards with nudity and temptation all over the place everywhere and sale, and come on in and we want to do you a favor and all this lying and deceiting and all that going on. It's not going to be there. And we're going to get into that too. And it's going to be wonderful. So we got everything to look forward to, brothers and sisters. But our relationship between God the Holy Ghost and us is something that we need to strive for. Something, if you ever wanted to have a relationship with anybody, you should work on your relationship with God the Holy Ghost and do everything in your power, as far as in your power, that you can do in order to make your relationship close with God the Holy Ghost. Now, we talked about 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, if we would just keep that verse alone, not by itself, but what I mean is if we prioritize that verse and we use that verse and confessed our sins whenever we knew that we needed to confess them, and say it, that verse right there would more than likely 90% keep us in fellowship with the Lord. It's when we deny confession and we turn our backs on confession and we begin to start getting hard-hearted and we turn our shoulder away from the Lord and turn our chins away and put our nose up in the air, that's when it starts getting dangerous and our relationship between us and God the Holy Ghost begins to start struggling. And it's not by on his behalf that He's doing this thing, it's because of us. And we got to be ever so careful. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And then in another place it tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can't trust your heart. You've got to, it's like walking a dog that's too strong for you. And that dog knows you and he knows what your will is and he knows what pleases you and what doesn't please you. But, every time he gets out there and he sees something he wants, he darts over the left and you have to pull him and you have to keep that rope tight on it and everything else. And he darts over to the right and then he's pulling you and you have to pull against him and everything. That's that flesh. That's that flesh. That's that flesh, and it's always pulling against you and wanting to get you away from the Word of God and get you out of fellowship with the Lord and steal your love with the Lord from the Lord. We talked about quenching the Holy Spirit, and when we talked about that in 1 Thessalonians, I believe it was, that we was discussing that. It means to reduce the degree of or suppress it or put it out. In other words, God the Holy Ghost's work and His will within the assembly and within us. We're not to stifle what the Holy Ghost wants to do in us. And that's what we was just discussing just a minute ago, is to be sure that we're doing everything on our part that God has told us that's available, like confessing our sins to Him. And you don't have to confess your sins to others unless you have offended them. Nobody needs to know anything about your business between you and the Lord, except you and the Lord, unless they're involved in it, and you need to confess your faults to them. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another, that you may be healed. So if you've offended somebody, yes, but if you haven't, it's none of their business what's between you and the Lord. You confess it privately to the Lord. Okay? So moving right along, the next thing that we see is in Acts chapter 1. Let me get my easy to get out of order here. Acts chapter 1. Hold on just a minute. Let me see where I am. Okay, I think I found it. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. There we go. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Okay, another part of the relationship between the relationship between God the Holy Ghost and ourselves is that God the Holy Ghost enables us and gives us the power to witness and to serve God. He's the one that gives us power. Now, you see, one thing that we misunderstand is Christians think that they have an identity because they're saved and because they're new creatures in Christ. And they think that their personalities and their person and everything else makes up their identity. You see, but that's not true. Our identity is in Christ Jesus that dwells in us in the person of God the Holy Ghost. He is the one that through His Spirit, through His person, using us, gives us, makes us people, makes us persons, and gives us identity. That's how come you got people running all over the world looking for who they are. You go to a troubled men's camp, or you go to these psychologists, or you go to all these people, and 99% of the time, one of the things that the patient always admits is, "I don't know who I am. I don't know who I am," and they're telling the truth. Because nobody knows who they are until God the Holy Ghost starts an identity in you. And you we were created to give glory to God. And the only way that you can do that is with the Lord's power. And with the Lord dwelling in you. And whenever Adam sinned, he didn't have the Lord there anymore. He fell. You see. Okay, I mean, he had him in person, but what I mean is he didn't have what God created him as. But the Holy Ghost is the one that gives us power to witness. The Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." You see, people don't have power by God the Holy Ghost until after they receive the Holy Ghost, and they don't have the Holy Ghost until after they're born again. Now, that's part of the relationship between us and the Holy Ghost, is that once we're born again, we have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in us, and He is able to use us to witness and to bring others to Christ by His power, not by ours. But we are servants to Him, and as we yield to Him, He will produce the power that's needed in order to bring others to Christ and give us the power to serve God, the Bible says. Another thing is found in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. It says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, I am commanded. Now, notice the way that that's written there. It says, "Be not drunk with wine." That's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. "Wherein is excess." But then it says, "But be filled with the Spirit." Okay, now that doesn't mean that you're going to get more of the Spirit. And it's talking about God the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Ghost is a person. And he dwells in you in fullness. God the Holy Ghost, if you're born again, you have all the Holy Ghost in you that you're ever going to get. But the thing that the Bible's talking about there, it says, "Be filled with the Spirit," is to be emptied of yourself. In other words, when you are the who's in control in your walk with the Lord. In other words, the more you are emptied of yourself, the more control God the Holy Ghost has of you. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Now, this is a negative command. It says, be not drunk with wine. And that explains what the Bible means by being filled with the Spirit. I am to be under the influence and control of the Spirit and not anything else. You see, the more God the Holy Ghost has control of you, the less you have control of you. Like John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Remember that? So our relationship has to do with us being filled with him. And that doesn't mean you get more of the Holy Ghost or more of him shows up at any given time. You have all of God the Holy Ghost at your spiritual birth as you're going to get. He's a person. He's dwelling in you. God is dwelling in you. But the thing about it is depending on what your relationship is with him and your walk with him is how much does he fill you? How much does he control you? You see. Let's see here. Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. The Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, we know that the Bible teaches that God's law, the Old Testament law, is good, and it's spiritual, and it's righteous, and there's nothing bad about God's law. But the fact of the matter is us as human beings and fallen creatures, we cannot keep God's law. There's none righteous, no, not one. But the fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. It's not possible for our flesh to do these things continuously and do them in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. But we're talking about our relationship with God, the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the work of the Holy Ghost in me is to produce something. It's for fruit. God the Holy Ghost wants to bring forth fruit in us as spiritual. Now, remember what we're talking about. We're not talking about fleshly things. When we're talking about God the Holy Ghost, we're talking about spiritual things. Spiritual. We walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. The work of the Holy Ghost in me is to produce, something in me. Of the Spirit. And what is that? The Bible says, let's read it again. But the fruit of the Spirit, talking about God the Holy Spirit, is, okay, so the work of the Holy Ghost in us is to produce fruit of God the Holy Ghost. In other words, how do you know God the Holy Ghost is working in you? Because a tree is known by its fruit. Jesus said. So a person that is being led by the Spirit will have fruit that's coming from God the Holy Ghost. Now, there are other spirits out there, and there are other fruits from those spirits, and you can see them. You'll know them by their fruits. You'll know them by their works. The Bible says you'll know them by the fruit that they bear. Okay? But the fruit of God the Holy Ghost, it tells us what will come out of us, what will be in us, and what will come out of us if we are being filled, if we are being controlled, if we are being led, and we are yielding to God the Holy Ghost and His will in our life. What are those things? Well, the first one is love. It's not talking about this reprobate, wicked, perverted love that the world teaches. this billboard theatrical love that the world teaches, this wicked, ungodly love that the world teaches. It's not talking about that type of love. That's shows that come on during the day, these soap opera loves. It's not talking about them kind of love. This is a love of God. God is love, the Bible says. This is the love of Christ. Christ's love. It's a sacrificial love. It's a love that is sincere, is genuine. It's love. This is the fruit of the Spirit. It will bear love. It will bear Christ's love in and through you. That's a fruit that'll start coming out of you. Joy. Joy will start coming out of you. You'll start not having this fake joy of this world and this satisfaction of the world that's fake, and it lasts for about a week, and then you got to start searching for something else. You get a brand new car and you got joy for a week, and then you scratch it and there it goes, the joy. Smells good for about a couple months, and you're riding around with all the joy that you think you have, and all of a sudden, there it goes. This is joy that is in the Holy Ghost. This is joy that is fruit of the Holy Ghost. This is joy that gives you, it's unspeakable and full of glory. It's something that you can't put in words. It's something that you know you have hope, that you know that you have promises, that you know that you have a God that has power that's behind these promises, that He's going to keep it with you, and He's not going to let you down, and that He's given you eternal life, and He's given you a mansion. He's given you that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things God hath prepared for them that love Him. Joy. This is fruit from God the Holy Ghost, because He's our teacher and He teaches us about the things that God has already given us. Peace. Peace. I'm talking about real peace. Peace that passeth all understanding. It's something that cannot be explained to people and how to get it. It's produced by God the Holy Ghost, and that lives within us. It's a peace that helps us not to worry about the things that the world worries about, and the things that the world is chasing, and the thing that the world thinks it's going to accomplish, and that it's going to bring in the new kingdom, and that it's going to do this, and it's going to do that, and great things, and we're going to be one, and man is going to be something. And all these things that they say that are going to bring peace, and there is no peace, because the Prince of Peace is not here yet. But when Christ comes, He's going to bring in peace, and it's going to be real peace. But we, as Christians that have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in us, our relationship with Him brings about a peace in us that's unexplainable. That's without words, that we can't explain to other people. It's a peace deep down and within us that we appreciate from the Lord, and it's from Him. Another fruit that God the Holy Ghost bears in us is long-suffering. That you tolerate things, that you put up with things, and that's something that this world is not bearing right now. The world, when I was a boy, people put up with things, and they tolerated things. But this world has gotten so edgy now, and so selfish, and so I want my way, and you offended me-ish, and all of this kind of stuff, that it doesn't have any idea what long-suffering is anymore, especially spiritual long-suffering. Spiritual long-suffering. God the Holy Ghost gives us the power to be able to long-suffer and to bear. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And part of letting them see our good works is long-suffering. Is long-suffering. Putting up with things, tolerating things, and not whining all the time, and bearing our cross. The Lord said, take up your cross and follow me. The Bible says that also another fruit of God the Holy Ghost, there were nine of them that we listed there. And the next one is gentleness. Now, I confess to you that that's something that he's had to work on me and work on me is being gentle with people, because I work with troubled men, and men are a little different than, they're different creatures than women. And a lot of times when you're dealing with drug addicts and heroin addicts and these type of men, of course, gentleness and at its right time bears some of the most tremendous fruit in the world. And gentleness is something that the world doesn't know anything about. They know how to exercise their mouth and their words and their tones, but there's no heart behind it. You see, gentleness comes from the heart. The Lord Jesus Christ was gentle. It says he was meek and lowly in heart. And God the Holy Ghost teaches us how to be gentle. But when we're bearing the fruit of God the Holy Ghost, these things will begin to bear fruit. We will begin to bear fruit in this fashion. This will be the fruit that's hanging off the tree. It will be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. This is fruit of the Spirit, not a spirit. The Spirit, God the Holy Ghost. And another one is goodness. Just being good. Just being good. You teach your children. I remember when we was boys. Be good. Do good. Just do right. Be good. And we know the difference in this relativistic culture that's coming about, and everybody's one. Let's all be one. There's no black and white. There's no good and bad. There's no up and down. And that's what they're trying to convince and deceive everybody, and all the idiots are believing it. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches parallels. It teaches good and bad. You don't know what's bad unless you know what good is, and you don't know what good is unless you know what bad is. The Lord teaches the difference between bad and good. The whole book of Proverbs teaches that. Parallels. Parameters. It teaches the difference between good and bad. And the Lord says that one fruit of God the Holy Ghost is goodness. If you say that you have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you and you are born again, then there is some fruit that is being grown. I don't know how fast it's being grown. It differs with all of us and our personalities. And God the Holy Ghost knows how to perfect that in us. But one fruit of His that He's bearing through you and in you is goodness. Is goodness. Another one is faith. Just simply believing God. What has God said? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're exercising faith right now, and God the Holy Ghost is perfecting faith, the fruit of faith in you right this very second. Because you chose to turn this recording on and to listen to it because you desire to hear what God hath said. And you know what that does? It produces faith. The fruit of faith in you, because faith cometh by hearing, what you're doing right now, and hearing by the word of God. And that's what we're studying. Isn't that wonderful? I love God's word. Meekness. Meekness. This does not mean being a sissy and being weak and not standing up for things. This means that you do it in a fashion, you do it in a manner, you behave in a manner that God the Holy Ghost would behave in. You do it in a manner of being wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Meekness. And then another one, temperance. You're not quick to fly off the handle. And that's been one that the Lord's been working on me for a while. And I think that we're finally starting to get something. We're finally, I hope we are. I'm for it. and the Lord is for it. And you see, all these things are fruit, and some men think that unless you're bearing all of these fruits at the same time, then God the Holy Ghost is not profiting through you. But I don't believe that. I believe that there's a comma in between every one of them fruits, and that each one of those fruits are different, and that they progress in you as God the Holy Ghost is able to teach you, and as you surrender those things to Him, and that you along with Him try to master this fruit and try to get this fruit productive and fertilizing this fruit, and that it's growing in you. And the more you surrender to Him and you're filled with Him and you are emptied of yourself, these fruits will begin to really, really prosper and grow in you. So we see the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And then it says, against such there is no law. In other words, when God the Holy Ghost is in charge and you're bearing these fruits that He's producing in you, then you don't have to argue about the things of the law because you are fulfilling the law. Jesus said that He didn't come to be against the law. He came to fulfill it. He came to fulfill it. The Bible says that those are the fruits. And as far as our relationship between us and God the Holy Ghost, that is what God the Holy Ghost is trying to produce in you, is fruit. And what fruit? The fruit that He bears, the fruit of God, the fruit of God the Holy Ghost. And when you are bearing these things and beginning to produce these things in and through you and allowing God the Holy Ghost to do these things and to produce these things in you through your person, your personality and your makeup and your person, then God the Holy Ghost, your relationship is beginning to be fruitful because you are drawing nearer and nearer and nearer to the Lord and your relationship with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? And let's see about one more thing here, and we'll try to get this one other thing in this lesson. John chapter 15, verse 4 through 8, the Bible says, abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in Me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me ye can do nothing. If ye abide in Me, if ye abide not in Me, He is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is My Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be My disciples. Now, a lot of people teach, and cults teach, that fire that these people are cast into, if you don't bear fruit, if you're born again, you're going to bear fruit. Because the mission of God the Holy Ghost in you is to bear fruit to glorify the Father. And Jesus said that if you abide in Him, now it might take God the Holy Ghost half of your lifetime to teach you to abide in Him. But you're going to eventually abide in Him if it takes all the way up to the point to where when the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're changed, then you'll abide in Him. But if you insist on being in the flesh, then God the Father is going to chasten you. And He's going to tear your hind end up until you abide in Him. And until your relationship. See, God is very serious about having a relationship with you, whether you are with Him right now or not. And He's going to get you to have a relationship with Him. And if you insist on going about it the hard way, then that's the way the Lord will take you with it. Until you abide in Him. He's not going to force you. He's going to convince you that that is your best option because He loves you. Are you getting this? Now, the fire part of it, the casting them into the fire, that's, it says men gather them and cast them into the fire. Well, that's not talking about hell. That's talking about in comparison to what they do with the branches that are withered. It says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire. Well, that's how they prune, and that's how they do. They get off all the withered stuff off of the branches so that it can be healthy. And it says they are burned. Well, first of all, it's not men that cast people into hell. It's the angels that cast people into hell. It's not men. This is talking about what they do in to the vines and how they cut the withered part off, and they prune you. And that's what the Lord is going to do. He's going to prune you, and he's going to cut off the parts that don't need to be there, so that you can bear more fruit for the Father. He's going to prune you. He's going to cut off the parts that don't need to be on you and the parts that don't need to be part of you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Now, you can't bear fruit unless God the Holy Ghost abides in you, because it is the fruit of God the Holy Ghost, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, that we bear in the first place. It has nothing to do with going to hell in that verse. And a lot of people will teach that. It has nothing to do. Your salvation is sealed. You're going to heaven no matter what. Whether you abide in the Lord or not, you're going to heaven. That's already taken place. That's already sealed. You're sealed with God the Holy Ghost. Okay, and you are on your way to heaven, whether you like it or not. And you do like it. But as far as this is not talking about eternal security, it's talking about your relationship with God the Holy Ghost and perfecting fruit. It's not talking about whether or not you're going to hell or going to heaven. That's already past tense. This is talking about your relationship with God the Holy Ghost. The Lord said, abide in me. You can't abide in the Lord unless you have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, the Lord has given us advice here, and he's showing us how this thing is done, how to bear fruit, and how God the Holy Ghost is going to bear fruit in you and through you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. He's showing you that this is the way how things are done in our relationship with God the Holy Ghost should be, is that we abide in the Lord, and his word abides in us. And that's what you're doing right now. And that's how fruit of God the Holy Ghost is perfected in us, is that we abide in the Lord. How do we do that? Through his word abiding in us. Through his word abiding in us. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now, it has absolutely nothing to do with eternal security. You're already born again, and the Lord has promised you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he did that as soon as you believed on his Son. Now there's a whole different kind of relationship going on. It's a relationship of husbandry. The Lord bearing fruit in you. God the Holy Ghost bearing fruit in you and conforming you into the image of his Son. It's a father and son and father and daughter relationship. Has nothing to do with a judge and a convict or a judge and a criminal where you've broken the law. You are not responsible for the law anymore because you have the righteousness of Christ on you, and your sins have been remitted and taken away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? Isn't that wonderful? The Lord worked it out perfectly, and it is perfect. We'll stop right there, and we will pick up there on our next recording. And let me give you the scriptures for today, okay? Have you got your pencils? Let's see where we left off here. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18, Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 and 23, talking about bearing how God the Holy Ghost's fruit is in us, John chapter 15 verse 4 through 8, and I think that's where we stopped. Now, the word abide means to dwell or to reside. He inhabits us. He lives in us and sojourns in us. An antonym to these things would be to depart or reject him or to resist him. The Bible tells us not to resist the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us that God the Holy Ghost is the power to witness and to serve God. And he dwells in us, and his intentions in us is to bring forth fruit that will glorify the Father and that will conform us into the image of his Son. You see, God didn't save you for vain reasons. God saved you, and you've been adopted into the family of God, and now he's going to conform you into the image of his Son. You are adopted son of God, and God the Holy Ghost dwells in you, and he didn't do this for vain reasons. He done it to produce fruit in you and to bring forth fruit. And what is the fruit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. And also so that we can bring others to the Lord. And bring others, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And it said, no man having a candle putteth it under a bushel, but puts it up on top of the shelf so that the light can be seen and that you can see the light. So we are to let our lights shine. And what is the light that's in us is the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Holy Ghost, bearing fruit. And we'll talk more about that and how the Lord has given everybody a gift, and talking about spiritual gifts, and we will also talk about speaking in tongues and divine healing and all this stuff, and we'll get a little farther into that, and signs and wonders and all this stuff. We'll get into that on our next lesson, okay? So thank you for bearing with me and bearing and learning along with us learning together. But one thing that's beautiful about it is that we talked about God's Word. We didn't talk about what we think or what we imagine or what we want or what we want things. We talked about what God says, and we talked about what the Word of God says. And we have went over what is the relationship between God the Holy Ghost and ourselves today, and carried that a little bit farther than we did last time and learned a little bit more. Now, you be sure to read those scriptures and go over those and let God the Holy Ghost teach you more and more about that and even greater in depth about that. And we'll talk more on the next recording, okay? So God bless you, and thank you for honoring the Lord today. Bye-bye.